I'm going to ask you to turn to two passages this morning. First of all, Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And then also 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now we're just going to read one verse out of each one of these chapters.
But they both lead well into this morning's message. As you find your places there, I'd ask that you stand. We're going to read those two verses, as I said. And so out of respect to the Word of God, let's stand as we read these verses. We'll be in the first verse of Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, notice this phrase, Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Turning over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll read verse number 13. Here God encourages us, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. The word quit there means to behave or to act like men. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word, and now as we look into it this morning, we pray your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts and in our lives that would bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I want to address the men. I understand that not all men are fathers, but all men are men, and God is looking for men today. Because too often in our culture we're finding the distinguishing marks of the genders being blurred. We have men that are having operations so that they look like women. We're having women having operations so they look like men. And it's a terrible thing. God calls it an abomination in His Word, and we're not going to preach about that. But just to put an emphasis on the importance of being a man this morning, and not just being a man, but being a godly man, as we saw Moses described as Moses, the man of God. And so I think this morning we would do well to taking the phrase out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13, how the Bible tells us to quit or to act like men. And for an example of a godly man, I want to look at Moses and just to pick a few things out of the life of Moses. It's not obviously going to be a thorough study of his life, but just some of the high points that show us how Moses was a man of God and how Moses quit himself like a man and how he behaves so much differently than the average man behaves in our society today. So let's turn now to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, all of our points, and there are five of them. I don't like to announce the number of points because then you start looking at your watch. And if I'm still on number one, when it's 20 after, you begin to get a little anxious. And sometimes I don't get through all my points. But I do have five. Whether we get through all or not, I don't know. But five things in Moses' life that help us understand what a man is to be like. And I titled today's message, by the way, Real Men Don't Wear Pink. Real men don't wear pink. In our gender-blurred society, they have the phrase that real men wear pink. No, they don't. Now, it'd be terribly embarrassing, and I would have never known it, except I pick clothes that I know. But it would have been terribly embarrassing if I wore something pink today. In fact, it was just called to my remembrance that one time with Anna and one time with Abby, I've gone shopping, and I went to buy a white shirt. Now, Anna's the good one. She caught me at the register with horror on her face saying, Dad, that shirt is pink, and rescued me. Now, Abby wasn't quite as good. She let me pay for it, and I got all the way out to the car, and I think we actually got home, and she told me I had bought two shirts, and they were both pink, and so obviously they went back. But I know the shirt I have on today is white. It has passed. I've had this shirt a long time. I picked it on purpose. It passed the Anna inspection. But real men do not wear pink. Real men are men. Biblical men are men. And there are distinctions that have been historical and traditional. Now, if you're wearing pink today and you're a man, just don't tell me, okay? I'll never know. I'll think it's gray or blue. And so I honestly don't have any idea. And I wouldn't have any idea unless someone tells me. So please don't tell me. All right, there are advantages to being colorblind. Okay? But there are traditional differences between men and women. And I think Moses is just a tremendous example of a manly man, a biblical man, a godly man. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 19 and 20. Now Moses, previous to this, is up on Mount Sinai. And God is giving him the law, the commandments, making with him the covenant for the nation of Israel. And he left Aaron in charge of all the Jews down at the foot of the mountain. And you know what happened? They didn't take long to have wayward hearts. And the people came to Aaron and said, hey, make us a god that we can worship. And so Moses took the golden earrings that they were wearing and he fashioned this calf. And all the people bowed down. And Aaron declares that this is the god that brought you out of Egypt. Now they hadn't been out of Egypt very long. And they had seen the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they should have known that God was not that calf. But nevertheless, they're having a wild, riotous party of a worship session. Kind of resembling some churches today, by the way. Unfortunately. And while God is talking to Moses, he sends Moses down the mountain. He said, there's a problem that you need to go address. And so we pick it up in verse number 19. Moses has come down to the bottom of the mount. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tablets. Now, these tablets contain the Ten Commandments. These tablets were cut out of stone by the very hand of God. They were written on and inscribed by the very finger of God. They were a gift of God to Moses and the people of Israel. And Moses has these tablets in his hands, and it tells us that he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. The first thing we find out about Moses as a man of God and as a godly man and a manly man, and the same thing God wants us to be as men when he tells us and commands us to quit yourselves like men. Act like a man, a biblical man. The first thing we find out about Moses is that Moses was offended at sin. Moses was offended at sin. Now, this sin was not his own. He was up on the mountain, and he was doing what God told him to do. But as he came down and saw the sin in the camp and saw what the people were doing and how quickly they had gone to idolatry, it so horrified and offended Moses that Moses took those tablets, and we always picture him holding them in his hands, these great big stones of rock, and I wonder how he carried those great big stones of rock. He must have really been strong when you think about the pictures we see. But nevertheless, that God cut out and gave to him as a gift to his people, he takes them and he throws that gift of God down and busts them to pieces. No longer are they any good. No longer is there any value in them. But Moses was so distraught at the sin in the camp that he could not help himself. It was the right thing to do at that moment to demonstrate visually for the people the sin in their lives. What about you, man? Men, we see sin all around us. I hear people complain about what's not on television. They always say there's nothing on television. So why do we pay the 34, it tells you how long it's been. I don't even know how much it costs to have cable. Why do you pay Hollywood to pipe that stuff if it's nothing into your house? If you don't ever watch it, why would you miss it if you didn't pay for it anymore? Think about that for a minute. Does sin horrify you and affect you like it did Moses? So often we're so callous to sin because it's everywhere that it doesn't offend us anymore. Moses, as a godly man, was offended by sin. What about in the workplace? When you have people that are just people, and to them it's okay to cuss. Do they cuss around you? And if they do cuss around you, do you keep silent, or does that offend you? Do you let them know that offends me? Please don't talk that way. That's one thing I appreciated about the people I worked around when I was in the factory. They knew where I stood, and very few of them cussed. They all tried to wash their mouths except for one fella. But sometimes it would slip out, but they knew that if they did, then it would be my turn to talk. You got to take advantage of those, your turn to talk. Does that offend you? Or do you say, oh, that doesn't bother me anymore? I hear it so much, it doesn't affect me. God says, then you're not a godly man. You're not acting like a man. You're not quitting yourself like a man. Now, this time of year, when it's warm, there's ladies that aren't dressed appropriately. And let's just go back to the workplace. And men acting like ungodly men, whistle and everything else. How do you act? How do you act? God says, quit yourselves like men. Act like a man. We're to be different. They're to know we're different because of our reaction when there's sin in the camp. They know what's sin. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. We may argue about what's right and wrong, but they know what a Christian should and shouldn't do. Are you like Moses? Are you offended by sin? Even if that sin is not your own. Looking further on down in this chapter. Well, let me back up just a minute because I don't want to pass over verse number 20 too quickly. Did you catch what Moses did? Moses was not a weak, panty-waist, mamby-pamby of a fella. He took that calf that everybody was worshiping, that everybody just got done saying, this is our God that delivered us from Egypt. And so they're attributing to that God, that calf, all the powers of the 10 plagues that God poured out on Egypt. The same God that parted the Red Sea is attributed to that calf. And Moses takes that calf right out from under their noses and he grinds it to powder. He burns it and grinds it to powder, throws it in their water supply, and then he makes them. That's what the Bible says. He makes them drink it. Now, as I try to visualize things, I see Moses taking his older brother. Now, if you have older brothers, you can understand that this just isn't what normally happens. I picture him taking Aaron by the back of the neck and dunking his head in that water saying, I'll drink it, you sinner. And then the next man comes up and he plunges his head in it. He made them drink it. That tells me they didn't want to drink it. Who in their right mind would want to drink it? But he made them. He was a man of strength and a man of conviction because sin so offended him. He wasn't a mamby-pamby. He didn't beat around the bush. He just forced the people to do that which was right. Further down in the chapter now, in verses 31 and 32. Now Moses is back up on the mountain talking to God. Verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot. Notice what he says here. Try to grasp this. This is similar to what the Apostle Paul said about the Jews, where he wished himself could be accursed. Moses says, if not, if you can't forgive them, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. which thou hast written. You notice the compassion that Moses had. Moses not only was offended by sin, but he was a man of compassion for those who were in their sin. So often we are so callous to that we don't have any concern for the souls of man, and we think, well, they'll be okay, or if they want to get saved, they can get saved. That's just a man's attitude. That's the way God created us. Now, women are more naturally compassionate towards others, but us guys, they could take care of themselves. That's why God makes it so women have the babies and they take care of them. How many kids would grow to adulthood? Oh, they can get their own dinner. I don't feel like it tonight. I'm tired. Or they fall down and break an arm. Suck it up. You're okay. Did I ever tell you about the time we had she was about 12 years old, broke her foot at church, at the other church. I feel kind of bad about this one. But she fell down the stairs on her back end. She came up complaining about her foot. And I stuck my finger on her foot and said, "Does this hurt?" And she'd squeal, and I'd poke her again. "Does this hurt?" I had no clue it was broken. Her grandma took her to the hospital after church, and she comes back in a cast. I felt terrible. But that's the way us guys are. Suck it up. You'll be okay. Compassion is not a normal emotion of a man. And yet here we see Moses so compassionate towards these people who had just made an idol and worshipped it while he was gone, that he says, "God, if you're not going to forgive them, if you're going to send all of them to hell for their sin, then you just send me right along with them." Now that's some compassion. He loved them, and that love forced him to act on it. You see, it's easy to love someone, but not to that extent. We can love them without ever acting on that love, but compassion is seeing that need, and because of the love, addressing the need that they have. And here we see intercessory prayer, praying for the lost. You know, most churches I've been in, when it came time for prayer meeting, the men would gather in a group or in groups of three or four and pray, and including the lost people, but we don't do that here. We just have one person that we know is comfortable praying out loud, pray for the needs. That's not a godly man, a biblical man. If we're going to pattern ourselves after Moses, when we see that Moses was called a man of God and that we're to act or quit ourselves like men, men aren't afraid to pray publicly and out loud because they have compassion for other people, and so they're compelled to pray. Unfortunately, too often we get intimidated because some people know how to pray, and we can only offer a simple thing. My example is Dr. Bruce Cummins, who was the man God used to start Massillon Baptist Temple. Back when the city of Massillon was a boom town with the steel industry, the Massillon Baptist Temple was one of the leading churches in America. And he never prayed more than 5 seconds before his message. Does that mean Dr. Cummins was not a man of prayer? No. But he just showed you that you don't have to pray this long, eloquent prayer to be heard by God. That's supposed to be left for the prayer closet. When we get up to pray, we just say what's on our heart. God hears it. Moses had these people on his heart. And so he prayed, and God heard him. You notice this isn't a long prayer in verses 31 and 32. And God heard it, and God answered it, and let him know right away. But how much time have you spent praying for lost souls this week? I certainly hope you spent some time praying, because of Bible school, and we did see some make a profession of faith this week. Praise God for that. In the last 2 weeks, the number, we're not exactly certain, but it's right around 15 people were saved as a result of the ministries of our church. Praise God for that, that He's still using us, and that even though we don't all see it or we're all taking place, God is using us as a church family. And as we're faithful to this church and faithful to God, God's going to continue to pour out the blessing, and maybe you'll get the turn where you're the one who gets to lead a soul to Christ. But men, we need to be praying to that end. We need to pray that God will send sinners into our midst, whether it be adults or whether it be children, and that we'll be faithfully sharing the gospel and that they'll get saved while they're here. We need to participate in the ministries where people get confronted with the gospel, such as visitation or soul winning. We need to be doing it on our own time all the time, sharing the gospel. There's nothing wrong with pulling a track out of your pocket. Last Tuesday, we had the funeral for Ed's son. But before the service started, I saw Ed's grandson over in the corner crying. So what are you going to do if you're in my shoes? Are you going to go over, put your arm around and try to console him? Tell him that it was his dad that passed away. And tell him that his dad's in a better place. And that his dad's in heaven with Jesus now. Well, that's a good thing to tell him. But what good will that do him if he's not sure he's going? And so I told him that. And I said, well, how about you? Are you going there too? And he told me no. And so I took the gospel tract out of my pocket and I went through the verses, not because I don't know them, but I want him to see them and I want to be able to give him something to take with him. And so we went through the gospel message and I left him with that tract. Compassion. To realize a man's greatest need is not to have his belly full of food. A man's greatest need is not to have nice clothes on his back. A man's greatest need is not to have a shelter in which to live. A man's greatest need is of a Savior. Without a Savior, he'll spend eternity in hell. Men, do you have a compassion for lost souls? If you don't, you're not quitting yourselves like men. Not the godly man. And we're talking about real men who don't wear pink. Men who pattern their lives after the Word of God. Men who want to pattern their lives after our example, Jesus Christ. They're men who are offended by sin, men who have compassion on others. Thirdly, and I already hinted on this or alluded to it, we find there in verse 31 that Moses was a man of prayer. Look back at verse 31. I want you to notice one word there. Moses returned to God. Moses had been there before. Now, we know that following this through, he went back up on Mount Sinai. But this was Moses' habit. Now, if I was to pick out all the times and have us read every time we see Moses going to God in prayer, we wouldn't have time for it this morning. Men, are you a man of prayer? Praying for yourself. So often we think, well, I'm so pious, I never pray for myself. Well, that's not scriptural either. God wants you to take your petitions before Him. And He wants you to be watchful in prayer so that when God answers, you can give Him thanks for working in your lives. Do you know the reason most men don't pray? At least not like they should. Most men don't pray like they should because our mentality is that we're self-sufficient. God has built that into a man that we're to provide for the family. We're the one who has that responsibility. And so we're used to taking care of things. If something has to get done at home, it's our responsibility. But we carry that into our relationship with God, and God says that's not good. God says you still have great needs. And so He teaches us to pray. And so Moses was a man of prayer. If you're to be a real man, you'll be also a man of prayer. You'll make that time. We all live busy lives. We all have our lives cluttered and full of things, but you'll make time to spend with God. Praying for yourself, praying for others, praying for churches. I could give you a whole list of churches that have great needs right now. We need to be men of prayer. As we move into the next chapter, chapter number 33, verse number 7, let's read a couple of verses here. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out under the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out under the tabernacle that all the people rose up. and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. What we see here is that Moses was a spiritual leader. Now what we have described for us was worship as it was in the nation of Israel at that time. This wasn't the tabernacle that we usually picture in our mind. It had not yet been created. But nevertheless, they had a worship center, and Moses went out to it, and as Moses went, everybody, the millions of Israel, stood and watched him go. And they watched as a cloudy pillar descended on that tabernacle as Moses was in there. You see, he was a spiritual leader. Worship didn't happen if Moses didn't take the lead. Now, it's not because necessarily that Moses was the head of Israel, the human head, which he was, but because Moses was a man of God. Men, do you take the lead in spiritual things? Churches are suffering today because men refuse to take the lead in spiritual matters. Friday night, I always tell the Friday night story in Bible school, and I wanted to act out the Good Samaritan. And I acted the whole thing out. No, I didn't act it out. I had kids act it out with girls. Where were the boys? Most of them were off playing baseball because the playoffs for the Little League here in town was running on Friday night. But we need men who will stand up and say, I'll be a spiritual man. I'll be a spiritual leader. How many men do we have that are willing to say, I will take a leadership position in the church? It's getting more and more difficult, and churches are tempted, and some are even giving in to putting men into office that are not qualified, whether it be as a pastor, whether it be as a deacon, whether it be as a trustee, whether it be as a Sunday school teacher, whatever position it is, men not qualified, because men are not willing to be spiritual leaders. Real men, acting like real men, are not afraid to stand up and lead, just as Moses did in spiritual matters. Now, that doesn't mean they're the most spiritual men in the world, but it does mean they have a yielded heart to the Savior. Men that are willing to say, God, if you'll use me, I'm willing. That's what God's looking for. Use me, I'm willing. That's a spiritual man. And so we see Moses was offended by sin. Moses was a man of compassion. Moses was a man of prayer. Moses was a spiritual leader. But turn over to chapter 34. One last thing I want you to see here. Exodus chapter 34. And we'll begin with verse 29. And read through the end of chapter 34. Exodus 34, 29. It came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. Now he had broken the first set. God made Moses come up with the stone for the second set, but God still wrote it. And so he comes down with the second set, came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not. Notice this. Wist just means knew. Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And And so here we have given to us that Moses' face glowed. It shone because he had been with God. But that didn't keep him from coming into the camp. It didn't keep him from meeting with the people. You see, Moses, and this is our fifth point, Moses was not ashamed that he had a public relationship with God. Moses was not afraid to be known that he had been with God. Moses was not afraid to let everybody know that he was different than they were because he had a special relationship with the Savior. Do your friends know, men? Do they know that you're a born-again Christian? Have you told them that you're a Christian? I've known too many men that have been ashamed in the public place to let others know, to let it be known in the workplace, to let others know that they are saved and that they're trying to live for Jesus Christ. They saw that as a weakness. They saw that as a detriment. And so they tried to just blend in. Moses couldn't blend in, but we can, and far too many do. Be a man. Act like a man. Let everybody know you're a Christian and that they need to be different when they're around you. They need to watch what they say and watch the jokes that they're telling and just simply clean it up. They need to know that. You see, Moses wasn't ashamed of God. He wasn't ashamed to stand up and pray. He wasn't ashamed to speak the Scriptures. He wasn't ashamed to tell people, you ought not be doing that. He wasn't ashamed to sit down and share with someone how they can go to heaven. He wasn't ashamed to ask someone, do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? He wasn't ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them which believeth. So men, how about you today? Symbolically speaking, do you wear pink? Are you willing to say, I'll be a real man, a biblical man? I'll be like Moses, offended by sin, having compassion, a man of prayer, a spiritual leader, and not ashamed of my Savior. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that Moses' example gives to us about manliness. Father, help each of us men in the room aspire to be as Moses was. Father, help our wives to be faithful in praying that we'll be the man that Moses was, that we'll be everything you want us to be. And Father, now as we enter the invitation, Father, pray that you'll work in hearts that are willing to be worked in. And Lord, that you'll make a great change and that our church will be different than any other church because we have men who act like men, biblical men. And that meant that others would point at our church and say, they have men of God in that church. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.